The following podcast has been brought to you by Catholic Digital Resources. Visit the website CatholicDR.com for downloadable parish resources. At Catholic Digital Resources, you can find faith-building bulletin inserts on the Sunday Scriptures, RCIA materials, ready-made PowerPoints for catechists, faith-sharing materials for Bible study groups and small Christian communities, and much more. Download faith formation resources and evangelization tools from Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
We are in very troubling times. We are in very interesting times, very special times. Right now in the church, Jesus is working to expose in his holy light things that have been hidden in darkness for a long time. We don't like hearing the truth when it comes out because it's very disturbing. If we don't like hearing the truth because we want it hidden, that's another thing. And there's a lot of that going on. But that's what Jesus is revealing. That's what Jesus is exposing in his holy light. We are living in a very unique age. Not that the church hasn't faced problems like this before. In various ways, the church has gone through some very dark times. But Jesus is always the one who is victorious. The church always continues despite what the devil has done down through the centuries to try to destroy it. And we're living in times right now when the devil has been working hard to destroy the church from within. And he's been at this for a long, long time, slowly building things up, slowly getting more and more people to become his pawns, to be his victims. And Jesus is saying now, enough is enough. The time has come to expose in my holy light what is dark, what is evil, what is going on, so that the truth can prevail. Now, the truth is the truth about what is going on that should not be happening. The truth that disturbs us. The truth that disturbs us because we know it's evil and it doesn't belong in our church. And there's also the truth of God is bigger than all of this. God is greater than all of this. This is what Jesus is also exposing in his holy light now. The devil wants us to be discouraged. The devil wants us to be afraid. The devil wants us to feel like there's nothing we as individuals can do about it. This is an overwhelming problem. There's so much evil, so much corruption, so much going on in the church. But that's what the devil wants. Jesus says, no, be filled with hope. Be filled with my life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit who will give you joy and victory and wisdom as to how to handle things and how to pray. My friend, let me share with you why I'm speaking about this today. This morning, I read an article in the Epoch Times. The Epoch Times, I highly recommend it. You can go to their website, epictimes.com. And in my show notes on this podcast, which are found at breadboxmedia.com, I'm going to include a link to this particular article. Let me read to you this article because it says things that should disturb us. And it exposes things. It's Jesus again exposing things in his holy light. We need to know the truth so that we can fight the devil. Jesus is exposing this in his holy light. He is revealing this through his holy light so that we know what's going on so that we can do something about it. And at the end of this podcast, I'm going to share three very powerful weapons that the devil doesn't want us to think about, know about, or remember. These are three weapons that will defeat the devil. Guaranteed. Okay? Guaranteed by God himself. First, let me read to you this article. The title of this article is church review boards often protect clergy over victims. So listen in. Church review boards, the purportedly independent panels meant to review allegations of sex abuse accusers fairly, were created to stop abusive priests from staying in ministry. However, an Associated Press investigation found these boards regularly failed to uphold their commitments and instead protected the church instead of the victims. The review boards appointed by bishops operate in secrecy and often undermine sex abuse claims from victims, shield accused priests, and help the church avoid payouts from suits. Dozens of cases involve review boards rejecting complaints from victims that were later validated by secular authorities. Many of the abuse survivors said they faced hostility and humiliation from the boards. I'm going to pause there in reading this because I want to just insert. I know of somebody who had this happen to him. Back in the early 2000s, when the sex abuse scandal first broke out into the open, the bishops decided that, okay, the way to deal with this, and I would guess that at least some of the bishops were thinking, the way to appease people and look like we are doing something to make a difference. One of the things they decided to do was to hold in every diocese and require in every diocese what is called a safe environment training. And anybody who works with the vulnerable, especially children, minors, was and is still required to attend this. I assume priests are required to attend this too. I have attended this more than once because of my involvement in the church. It basically teaches you how to recognize possible abuse that's going on. If you're a catechist and you have a child in your room that's behaving a certain way, or if you witness something, then report it. That's all fine and good, but reporting it often doesn't do any good unless you report it to civil authorities. In the case that I'm talking about, there was a young man who attended this safe environment training when it was first made available because he was the youth minister of the parish. And in dealing with youth, therefore, he was required to attend. Well, while he was attending, he discovered from what he learned there that he himself was being victimized, that the pastor he worked for, the Catholic priest he worked for, was grooming him, that's the terminology, grooming him to become a victim of sexual molestation. Now, first of all, this young man was no longer a minor. So there was no legal authorities to go to. So he went to the bishop. Nothing was done. He wasn't taken seriously. He reported his situation exactly the way he was told to report it when he went to this training. It made no difference. And finally, he spoke up and he reported to the entire parish what was going on. I don't blame him for doing it. I mean, he wrote it in a letter that he passed out as people were leaving the masses. He did it without permission because the priest who he had to ask for permission from was not going to give him permission because he was the abuser. I admire him for the courage that he took. I admire him for his determination to expose abuse for what it is so that something could change. Not just for his own sake, but for all victims. For the church itself. For the parish where this priest was the pastor. And of course, he lost his job. The diocese, you know, the diocesan review board never took his case seriously. Nothing was changed until later when a friend of mine and myself, we formed what we call a Rosary Walkathon. And in another episode, a previous episode in this Footsteps to Heaven series, you know, the show, there's two episodes where I share the story of what we did, and in the second episode, how to do a Rosary Walkathon yourself. So please look that up. It's also on my website, the Good News Ministries website, gnm.org. You can find information about the Rosary Walkathon there and even print out the how-to information. That was when a difference was finally made through the power of the prayer of the Rosary. Back to this article. The Associated Press checked all the roughly 180 dioceses in the United States for information, reviewed thousands of pages of church and court records, and interviewed more than 75 abuse survivors, board members, and others to uncover a tainted process where the church hierarchy holds the reins of power at every stage. A pause in reading this. When anyone holds the reins of power, this is where the devil has opportunity, an open door to get in, because we all need to be submissive to the power of God. And anytime we think we are in control and want to be in control, that is a sin. We need to be submissive to God Himself and let Him be the one who is in control. So, getting back to this article, Tim Lennon, president at Survivors Network of those abused by priests, Survivors Network of those abused by priests has the acronym SNAP, S-N-A-P. Anyways, Tim Lennon told the Epoch Times that the results of the investigation are consistent with his experience talking with other survivors of church abuse. He called the review board process and system more than a conflict of interest. He said, quote, "It's a dishonest process. The bishop appoints the board. The board is only advisory. All decisions that they make have to be approved by the bishop. They, the church officials, are misleading the community. They are misleading the victims." The article goes on to say, "Bishops have appointed church defense attorneys and top aides to these boards. In addition, bishops choose which cases go to the board, what evidence members see, and what criteria is used to decide if an allegation is substantiated or credible. And sometimes," the AP found, the Associated Press found, "even where boards did find cases credible, bishops still sided with the priest and ignored the findings." Even if this happens once, my friend, that's once too many. That's evil. That's the devil getting into the church. But it's sadly happened so many times. A lot of it hasn't even been exposed yet. And Jesus is exposing things in His holy light now. So don't be alarmed at the news, because He's exposing it in His holy light for a reason. And like I said, at the end of this podcast, I am going to share those three weapons that He has given us to fight this and win this battle. So going on with the article, Lennon said victims should not rely on the church to find justice. He pointed to a case involving a whistleblower in Buffalo, New York, which showed there were three times the number of abusive priests than the bishops had claimed. He said, "We have seen that when law enforcement investigates, that is when we find the truth." When law enforcement, the civil authorities. He said, "We need to rely on prosecutors, the district attorney, even politicians to enact strong laws to protect the community. We cannot rely on the church to police itself." And the article goes on, "At least a dozen reports by government investigators, and outside consultants with access to church documents have questioned the board's independence, their treatment of victims, and their thoroughness. These reports include at least 7 grand jury and state attorney general reports. Even if the boards do give recommendations, reports by the bishops' conference found dioceses ignored boards, sometimes leaving cases dormant for more than a year. Review board members past and present told AP, the Associated Press, about dioceses gaming the process, from failing to keep them informed to using aides to steer deliberations." Mary Dispenza, SNAP leader for the Seattle District and contact person for those abused by nuns, told the Epoch Times that abuse within the church is a, quote, "horrendous issue, bigger than we believe or what we want to know." Isn't that interesting? Bigger than we want to know. And this is why I am sharing this in this podcast, is because we need to know it, because Jesus is exposing what's going on in darkness. He's exposing it in His holy light so that the darkness can be defeated. going back to the article here, she says, Mary Dispenza says, children are still being abused by clergy, and priest predators in many cases are still serving. It remains a problem because it's a systemic issue within the Catholic Church. The cover-ups and the secrecy are serious. End quote. And the article finishes up with this. Review boards are limited in what they can do, according to Dispenza, because they fall under the same hierarchical model being perpetuated by the church. Review boards, they're still controlled by the bishops, who very often are the ones who are covering things up and contributing in their own sins to the darkness, to the evil. My point in sharing this with you is because we cannot rely on the church hierarchy to rescue us. Even the good priests and the good bishops, which I firmly believe are more in number than those who are sinning in these horrible ways and contributing to these cover-ups and being instruments of the devil getting into our church to conquer us from within, or so the devil thinks he can do, because he can't. But we're going to get into that in a minute. The point I want to make right here is that we cannot rely on the hierarchy to solve the problems. Jesus is working. Look around. Look at this video that I'm making with this podcast, if you're watching this on YouTube. Jesus is exposing things in his holy light, and he is doing it through the lay people. Because even the good priests and good bishops who see the truth and are angry about what's going on and want to make a difference, many of them are being suppressed. Many of them are not free to speak up and reveal what's going on. This is why we who are the lay people must speak up. And that's the first weapon that we have. Speak up about the truth. The first weapon is the truth. And we wield this weapon by speaking up. We wield the weapon, first of all, by becoming informed, not being afraid of articles like I just shared, but yes, when I read this, I was greatly disturbed, and I'm like, Lord, what can I do? That's the key. Look at the truth and say, Lord, what can I do? Because this is how Jesus is going to and wants to defeat the devil in the church today. Yes, he is going to do it through priests, through holy priests, and through holy religious nuns, you know, brothers, sisters, deacons. But the primary people who have the freedom of opportunity to speak up. As you can see, if you look on YouTube, if you look for podcasts on different podcast apps on the topic of church crisis and clergy abuse and things like that, you will find a plethora of good, solid teachings by lay people. We need to realize we are rightfully angry against evil. The way Jesus was angry when he cast the money changers out of the temple. And he says, you've made it a den of thieves. You've made my sanctuary a den of thieves. And that's what's happened. People who are cooperating with the devil, what the devil wants to accomplish in the church, they've made the church into a den of thieves. Satan is the thief who tries to steal souls, and he has been stealing souls. We need to fight back. God is calling us to embrace the truth that good is good and evil is evil. And I say it that way because Satan's strategy is to convince people that evil is good and good is evil. That's rampant around us now. A lot of good people have been misled by that. But we need to realize that the truth, as Jesus said, will set us free. The truth about who Jesus is. He is the Savior. There is no way to get to heaven but through him. And the devil right now is even using the church all the way up to the Pope. And I'm not going to get into how he's doing that in this podcast. You can find that out if you do the research. All the way up to the Pope, trying to convince people that all ways lead to heaven. You don't need to go through Christ. You know, that all religions, including pagan religions, are equal opportunities for, you know, the key is to become good people, you know, and that's it. Jesus said, only through me can you get to heaven. So we need to profess that truth. We need to express and teach and share and get other people to embrace and understand the truth about how we have victory over Satan, because Jesus who is in us is greater than Satan who is in the world and greater than Satan who is in the church. We need to remember this very important truth that the real enemy is not any priest, bishop, nobody in the church hierarchy. The real enemy is not them. They are victims of Satan too. They are victims without realizing that they're victims. But they are victims. They've been tricked into risking their eternal salvation. Now, let me read from Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 says, "Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, and with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground." That's starting with verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. And that brings me to the second weapon that we've been given. How do you hold your ground? What are some of the ways that God has given us, other than, you know, the armor of God? That could be a whole other podcast teaching that. There's a wealth in there. It's living the faith and wearing the faith. But the second weapon I want to share now is to do this with other believers, other people who are equally concerned about what Satan is doing in the church and in the world and in our families. We need to get together. We need to join together because there is strength in unity. There is power and strength in getting together. There's more power in our prayer when we pray together. There is strength that we get from one another when we are together, realizing that we are not alone in this. Realizing that God works through the people, not individuals, although individually we do things, but he works through all of us, uniting ourselves against the devil. And the third weapon is praising God despite the darkness. In Acts chapter 16, we see an example of this. Peter and other disciples who had been preaching the truth, getting the truth out, they were arrested for speaking up about the truth. They were put in prison because of it. How did they handle that? If you speak up the truth, by the way, and you get persecuted by your pastor or by anybody, remember what Peter and the others did when they were put in prison and their entire lives were in danger at that point. They praised and worshiped God. They sang praise and worship music. They sang in a spirit of worship that brought joy to their hearts. What happened then? There was an earthquake that opened up the doors. The prison doors were opened up. That's the power of praise. When we praise the Lord, the devil flees. The devil can't stand being around our praise. The devil can't stand being around us when we are truly worshiping the Lord. And worship means being in awe of him, being submissive to him completely, and praising him, not for the problems, but for his victory over the problems that we know are coming even before we can see it. We praise God for the fact that he is bigger than all the evil put together. All the things that look discouraging. All the things that make us angry, righteously angry. God is bigger than all of this. And that is a good reason to praise him. And when we do, if we feel discouraged, the discouragement flees. If we feel downcast, if we feel upset, joy fills our heart again. And that is a very powerful weapon. And when we do it together, as a community, it's an even bigger weapon. God delivers his strength through community. Yes, one-on-one in our relationship with him, but also through community. Jesus is exposing the truth in his holy light. and rejoice in the truth of who Christ is and what he wants us all to believe and to follow. Keep following that truth. And the truth about the evil that's going on, praise and worship him in your own private prayer time and with others. Praise and worship songs that lift up your spirits. Those are the kinds to sing and to praise. You know, the spoken praise is powerful, but even more powerful is the song. There are easy ways to get a hold of praise and worship music for you to enjoy by yourselves. There are apps that you can have on your devices that have praise and worship stations that you can listen to. And you can buy the music. You know, there's many ways that you can give yourself access to it. You can find it on YouTube and listen to it streaming to you from YouTube. Get yourself into this spirit of praise, because in that, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you to do whatever God is asking you to do, to take a stand against the evil in the church and rout the devil from our church and from our families and from the world. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me like never before. Come, Holy Spirit, I open myself to receive all of your gifts so that I may live as a victorious Christian, conquering the devil in a spirit of joy. Come, Holy Spirit, tell me what you want me to do to get the devil out of the church, out of my own life, first of all, and out of every place, my family, my home life, my workplace, wherever you send me. Come, Holy Spirit, bring into my life the people you want me to be in community with about this. If I don't yet have those people in my life, bring them on. Lead me to them. Help me to appreciate what you are doing in my life to use me as your instrument against the devil. Come, Holy Spirit, use me. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me so that you can use me. Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.